prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but it's getting God's will done on earth. Richard Trench spoke that. It's not overcoming God's reluctance, but it's laying hold of God's willingness. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. It's not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying a hold of God's willingness. Most of us believe in God, but we're not sure if God is willing to meet the need. We're not sure. I made mention last week that the Bible says, casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. That word cast means to throw. There are different ways to cast. You can cast like seed around, just like the sower went out and sowed seed. You can do that. It's kind of random sowing. You can cast. We were out together yesterday afternoon with Gerald, do a little bit of fishing. And in fact, I was kind of watching him because I don't do a lot of fly fishing. And I have a fly rod and some wire on it, Gerald got me set up, and we were out there, and I was hoping for a fish. Do you know what I got? It wasn't very big. It was not even edible. She was too small. And I don't even know how I caught it. I just know I threw my line out there, and, well, I got this little guy. There was I don't know if it was one fish or several, but they were jumping. But they wouldn't take, they just wouldn't take. A fisherman goes out there and he's pretty sure that there's fish out there. He'll throw his line hoping to get something. Sometimes our prayer is like that. Come on, really. I guess yours is not like that. But there are some times that, you know, we just feel like that our prayer is, well, I'm going to cast out and I'm just going to see whatever I get. I don't know whether I'm going to get a bass or a trout or, you know, some other kind of breed of fish. We just don't know. We're going to just, but you know, when we ask, we casting our care on Him. He does care for us, and it's usually you're gearing up for something. So the kind of cast that I'm talking about is when it's like baseball, when you're throwing the ball is hit to you. You take hold of the ball and you're throwing it to first base or second base. You've got purpose in your throw. Glory to God. And our prayer needs to be like that. Our prayer needs to be like that. I can see you're all excited about that. Our prayer needs to be like that. In the early 80s, there was a movie called Star Wars that was created. And when I graduated from Bible school, matter of fact, it was 1980 that we graduated. I traveled with a team for a short time called Real Life Ministries, and we were all geared up to as a drama team. We had professional gear on, costumes. By the way, I don't know how many would know about the movie, but I played Darth Vader, not the nicest fellow to play that part, but I played Darth Vader. And we had Luke, and we had Leia, and we had Obi-Wan. And there was a constant fight over the Bible. We had lightsaber battles over the Bible. I was supposed to lose. And there was one particular time that I took my lightsaber, which our lightsabers, the only thing that wasn't real was our lightsaber. It was like a dowel, a piece of wood, and I swung that thing. And I hit Luke's lightsaber. I hit it somewhere, and the thing just shattered. And, of course, the kids were, oh, yeah, all right, okay. And they were just going nuts, right? Well, I wasn't supposed to win, so we had to do something. She was all ad-libbed from there. I mention that because Star Wars, there's a fight. Good and evil. We are in a fight. You know, there was another movie that was done called Lord of the Rings. And it's a constant journey, a constant battle. Somebody trying to get and locate a ring. And because if they could get all the rings, that they would rule, you know, the world. And there's this one little critter. He's ugly looking, and he's constantly battling and raging. And there are several attempts to try and get the ring. It's an adventure. It's a journey. Our lives are like that in that it's a journey. It is constantly filled with crises and turmoil. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. We cannot be in this world without trouble. But you see, what we have is an almighty God that created the heavens and the earth. He made it out of nothing, and he made something, and he called it good. But when it come time to man, he said man was very good. Praise the Lord. And he gave man a dominion and rule over the earth. And he told man to guard it and to keep it. That began the battle. That began the battle for mankind. Began a whole chain of events. A lot greater than Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. They're movies, but what I'm talking about is something real. We battle against, not against flesh and blood, although sometimes we think we are. You know how people have differences. I get that. Our face is different. We have different sizes and shapes and everything else. We have different needs, and we have different hobbies. We got different foods. It's amazing when you sit down and you eat with somebody to find out what they like and what they don't like. We all have those likes, and somehow, some way, we think that we battle against flesh and blood. But the Bible says we do not battle against flesh and blood. We have a great adventure. In fact, it is my belief that every practicing Christian are to bring spiritual kingdom realities into their life. And it's not something that we're to keep to ourselves, but it's something that we need to share with the emerging generations. There are forces of evil trying to plunge this world, the world that we know, it into chaos and darkness. They seek to ensnare and enslave mankind, making them Satan's subjects, using their own appetites and desires. But this is the battle that we have. This is the battle that we are to stand in. We are in it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're in it. Like it or not, you're in this thing. Well. We stand as the line defense between peace and destruction. It's been that way ever since Jesus, the carpenter's son, declared it on the mountain. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. A little bit later, and I think it's 14, he says, you are the light of the world. And there are times that as light and as salt, there are times that we need to push. P-U-S-H. We need to push in prayer. When we push in prayer, God results happen. If we're silent, then the enemy triumphs. It's that simple. It's not about commanding God, but it does mean having a heart-to-heart talk with Him. I think I told you the story when our house wasn't selling, and my dad just went to my mom and dad are always praying for us, and my dad just went to the Lord and say, Lord, that house isn't sold yet. Just something so simple. That house isn't sold yet. It's time to get her done. Now you say, well, that doesn't sound like a, a kind of prayer to pray. Well, how else do you talk to God? We think we got to use King James language. God bless you if you're using King James language. But you don't have to use King James language. You don't have to. Have a heart-to-heart with God. You don't talk to other believers, other family. You don't talk to them like that. Have a heart-to-heart with God. Praise the Lord. He calls us His children. My son never said to me, "Thus saith my dad." There are times, in fact, we were talking about mountain-moving faith. And if you read that portion of Scripture, it says, "You say to the mountain, be taken up from there and go somewhere else." You're talking to the mountain. At that thing, you're not talking to God. You're not commanding God. And it's not coming through your might or power. It is coming through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. I can see you're all excited about that. Glory to Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you, it's just times, there are times that we have a heart-to-heart with God, and there's times that it takes commanding the mountain to be moved. Look, there are two kingdoms in conflict here on the earth. And we're all engaged in this battle. One seeks to bring about our Heavenly Father's will, while evil forces seek to oppose His will. And He's trying to reign here on earth. But we've read to the end of the book and we win. Thank you for those amens. Glory to God. By the way, did I tell you that you have to push? P-U-S-H, that you need to push. Push is required. Oh, did I tell you what push means? I'll tell you in a little bit. Sometimes we think that when we pray that God is reluctant to answer our prayer. But there are times when it's just the enemy resisting. You can look at Daniel, and Daniel was praying, and Daniel was a guy, he prayed 3 times a day, and there were some folks that wanted to shut him up and shut down his prayer time. He wasn't shutting down his prayer time for nothing. Glory to God. He was persistent in it. Then God says to him, "Hey, it's not that I haven't wanted to answer. There's been some resistance." I mean, I don't know what we think this life entails. But there are some times that you got to push in this thing. You got to persist in this thing. Glory to Jesus. We persist. We push for Richard. We push for Sammy. We've been pushing for Blair. The Bible's very simple, has a very, very simple way for things to get done. Do you know, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, it says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Here's an interesting thought. When we pray, are we thinking, well, God won't change His mind? Does God change His mind? We're not sure. Because sometimes we just don't know how God works all the time. My. Fascinating. Yeah. This always draws a reaction from people that have neatly laid God in their theological casket. It's amazing how many folks feel threatened about the possibility of God changing His mind. because they see it as a crack in his sovereignty. Therefore, in their insecurity, they say, well, everything happens. It's just meant to be. Reminds me of Eeyore, the guy, you know, there's Winnie the Pooh. And then there's Eeyore. Oh, bother. And we sometimes have that kind of a, whatever will be, it's just meant to be. But Numbers 23, the God is secure in his sovereign, for he is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. But we know that God, in throughout the times and the years past, that God has changed his mind or he relents. You know that repent and relent are two different things. And they're quite different words and have two completely different meanings. Relent means to abandon a harsh intentment or a cruel treatment. Repent means to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. God does not repent because he does not sin and he is incapable of wrongdoing. This is the one of the things that makes God so magnificent. He does, however, relent, and he has done so throughout the scriptures, especially in relationship to judgment or harsh intentions of his wrath. In Genesis 28, Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah, which God had determined he would destroy in righteous judgment for their wickedness. God was not throwing a tantrum. God was not overreacting to a few minor scandals. This righteous judgment on the city that had become so perverse, it was a city that had become so perverse that when two angels had visited the city, the men surrounded the house. They demanded to have the daughters of Lot. The owner of the house, who happened to be the most righteous man in the city, offered a band of perverts his own daughters in an attempt to persuade them away from their perversion, to which the men reacted with violent threats. We will deal, Genesis chapter 19, 9, we will deal worse with you than with them. And let me say, these were not nice people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were not nice people. They would sooner rather have those angels than the daughters. Well, yet Abraham interceded for the city, specifically because his nephew Lot, whom he knew was living within the walls. God relented from his plan A to wipe out the entire city with all of its effects and inhabitants to plan B, where Lot and his family became the beneficiaries of God's grace and were saved in the midst of that destruction. If Abraham had not interceded, Lot would have perished. It was Abraham's intercessory prayer that released God's grace upon Lot's family. That still happens today. The devil will convince you that, will try and convince you that your son or daughter or family members who happen to be on drugs and deserve the death calamity and or some other judgment. But the devil is, he's shrewd. He's a shrewd attorney who does not disclose the complete truth. He only speaks partial truths. The heart of God desires mercy, not judgment. And when you intercede for a family member, you move him or her from God's judgment to mercy. Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. That would be a good say to face. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. There's two sides to God's throne. One side is judgment, the other side is mercy. Intercession has the power to move people from one side to the other. The Bible says that mercy and truth go before His face. We decide whether we are greeted with mercy or with truth. If you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have embraced truth, and grace is extended to you from the throne of God. Praise the Lord. And those who reject Christ reject truth. They miss out on grace. You see, God has done all that he's going to do to provide grace and mercy. There isn't anything more that he's going to do to provide grace and mercy. People need to grab hold of that. Grace and mercy, praise the Lord. When Jonah preached judgment in Nineveh, the king proclaimed a fast throughout the land and the entire nation repented. What happened next? Well, God relented of his intended judgment and spared the Ninevites. And Jonah, the judgment preacher, got angry. I think he needed anger management. Then there's the story of King Hezekiah. The prophet Isaiah was sent to his house and told the king to set his house in order as he was going to die of the sickness which he was afflicted with. But upon receiving the word of the Lord, the king cried out to the God, and he repented. Then the Lord spoke to Isaiah and told him to go back to the king. God had changed his mind and would extend to him a life of 15 years. The Bible is full of God seemingly changing his mind. What actually is taking place is God's willingness to move people from judgment to mercy, because there are folks who know his heart and choose to intercede. The whole point of Jesus coming to die upon the cross should be proof enough that God does not desire to give us what we deserve. Praise the Lord. Listen to Jesus' harsh rebuke of judgment to the junkies of his day. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. But go and learn what it means. This is what Jesus said. Go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Prayer shifts people from God's judgment to God's mercy. It's so powerful. It's so essential. If we didn't have a prayer meeting in the church, we do have one. Sometimes two. But if we didn't have prayer meeting in our church, I would hope that you would ask us to start one. Jesus said, my house is to be a house of prayer. We need to be a house where we are praying for the mercy and the grace of God to be extended to those that are outside, not just in our family, but to those that are outside our families. We need to cry out for our country, for our province, for our cities, and for our towns, and intercede, moving people from the judgment of God into the mercy of God. We've got an election coming up, and I would hope that we're praying. We do on Monday nights and Wednesday nights, pray for our elections. We've got serious. Everywhere you go to, people are talking about this happening and that happening and this happening with our prime minister, and he's doing this and doing that, and this person. We get all caught up in that, but those are the places and the times when we need to get on our face before God. Be merciful, Lord. In prayer, we get to go on a great adventure with God. We are to push in prayer. And when we push in prayer, God moves. He will even move us from judgment to mercy. When you are praying, are you pushing in prayer? You say, Pastor Ron, you've used that numerous times now. What in the world is that push? P-U-S-H. It means pray till something happens. Glory to God. Pray till something happens. Glory to God. We've seen evidence of it already. Thank you, Lord. Praise God for what God's doing in Blair. Boy, I have to tell you, I was into the hospital and saw his color when we first went in there. I knew that man needed prayer. Different today. Glory to God. We need to pray. Did you know there was a woman that was, Jesus talked a little bit about this, but a woman that was persistent. She'd keep on banging on the door of the king. She kept on banging and banging and banging and banging and banging and banging. He didn't want to answer the door. Now, God's not like that. But he was human, see. He was getting tired of that woman banging on the door. Did she receive? Yes. But it was her persistence in that prayer. Are you pushing? I won't even get into this too much, but are you pushing to that point? Would you take the roof off of somebody's house to see that your friend got into where Jesus was? Wow. That was persistence. That was faith. Make a hole in somebody's roof so that their friend could get down and be ministered to by Jesus. He honored that kind of faith. Are you pushing like the woman who would not stop? In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, there's a new translation out called the Passion Translation. And I want to read Matthew chapter 7 and 8 out of it. It says, "For every persistent one will get what he asked for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find that door open." Praise God. We pray. We are to pray until something happens. Glory to Jesus. Now, Paul the Apostle, he told the Corinthians, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Wow. The devil could whisper in your ear, "You're not strong enough to withstand a storm." You just let him know. I'm a child of God. I'm a man of faith or a woman of faith. I'm a warrior in Christ. And you just tell the devil, "I am your storm. You think that you're bringing me stuff." You just let him know, "I'm going to be your biggest nightmare. Because I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to rely on my own ability or on my strength. But the same Spirit that whipped you." When Jesus was going to the cross, the same Spirit that helped him and gave him strength was the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. The Bible says that same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you. You become, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the devil's worst nightmare. If you'll pray. And if you will be obedient to what the Lord tells you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One day a young boy asked an old man, "Sir, which is the best day to pray?" The old man replies, "My son, the best day to pray is the day before you die." The boy was totally astonished and he replies, "Well, sir, how can I know the day before my death?" The old man answered and said, "No one knows the day of his death. That's why you need to pray every day." Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Paul the Apostle says it like this: pray without ceasing. On Wednesday night, let's see, is this the last Wednesday in August? Yes, we have one more Wednesday night. The first Wednesday night of September, we're going to be sharing with you, if you'll come and receive some teaching as to how to pray for the sick. And there are some patterns, there are some things that will be helpful to you. I'm not going to give you a formula, but we will give you some helps so you will know how to pray for the sick. But we don't need to be afraid to pray for the sick. We shouldn't even be afraid to share of our faith for other people. I don't necessarily believe that we have to be in your face or in their face when it comes time to sharing the gospel. But I know that the power of the gospel is awesome. And it can flow from us with a simple story, with you just telling the folks your story of what God has done for you. I know sometimes we wonder about sharing our faith in a service. I do it with reason. I ask for you to share what God's doing in your life for reason. Because I know that if you do it in here, you can do it out there. And it's so very, very, very simple. You don't have to be a theology graduate. You don't even have to know the Romans Road, which is a wonderful thing to know. But you can tell your, if you can tell, and one pastor said it like this. He said, if you can tell stories about your family, then you can tell stories about the family of God and what God has done. Thank you, Jesus. So we share. You share from your story. I know that there are some of you that are just, it's unbelievable. You're just, whoa, you're out there. You're with unbelievers. I think it's awesome. I begin to see how different ones and how they move. And I'll tell you, when you pray every day, when you push in prayer, you pray until something happens. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, give us the vision, give us the heart of compassion to push until something happens. Thank you. I ask that you would lodge the truth in our hearts. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit of God, help us. Help us in our going out, in our coming in our rising up, and in our sitting down. Help us to acknowledge you in all of our ways so that you can direct our path. Thank you. In Jesus' name, go with these folks. Help us to realize that we are entering the a mission field that is already ripe unto harvest. And help us to be led forth in peace. Help us. Help us. In Jesus' name, I thank you now. Amen.